Blog Talk Radio.
Boy, we almost played that song anyway. So, hi, Kelly. This is Kelly. This is Annie O'Sullivan and Kelly Bear with Can You Hear Me Now? And I have just really had a day. We were just kind of kibitzing about that a little bit. So I'm having a hard time getting started tonight. How are you, Kelly?
Oh, it's been crazy. Nothing but crazy, but it's calmed down. The waters are settled now, but I understand your week because that's what this has been. But it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, it's been, it's just been crazy. So anyway, Kelly?
At least you're not on furlough anymore. That's a lovely thing.
No, yes. For those of you who don't know, I was a furloughed Fed, and some people are very nice about it, and some people are like going, oh, yeah, you got a vacation. I think I've heard it all. And that part of my angst is work has just been absolutely crazy because we were gone for 17 days, and those deadlines never stopped for us. So I come into work and everybody wants a meeting on Monday and then they want to know on Tuesday how come your paperwork's not done.
I have a hard enough time remembering my passwords from going over the weekend, let alone 17 days. I couldn't imagine.
Well, yeah, it was pretty rough because normally, you know, you go on vacation or something, you kind of tie up all your loose ends. And we just basically had to go lock up anything that mattered and leave. It was not a terrific plan.
At least it's over. That's good.
Oh, yeah, until January. So anyway, let's talk about the show. We got Michael Skinner tonight, and we're going to play some of his music. We're going to talk to him about what he's doing, why he's doing it. And Kelly's got some housekeeping to do. I love fobbing that off on you.
That's the word. Well, everybody,
your next T-shirt's
going
to have a picture of you with a broom.
I know. Flying in and flying out. Oh, God. Welcome, everyone, to our Friday night Can You Hear Me Now with Annie O'Sullivan and Kelly Bear. We always want to welcome everybody and let everybody understand that we're not here to give professional analysis or professional opinions. We're just two gals talking about issues and subjects that come up. We do have a call-in line, and our call-in is area code 714-816-4679. So please do call in. I do not have my Wi-Fi. I'm not in Wi-Fi zone at the moment, but call in definitely, area code 714-816-4679 if you have a question or you need to ask Michael something or Annie or I. There you have it, girl.
Oh, absolutely. Please, please feel free to call in. Let me see if I can't get this music going. It's called The 9:30 Train. It's by Michael Skinner. And I just love this song, and I think everybody's going to be able to relate to this.
She wants my love, but she pushes away. She wants my love, but she gives it away.
But she runs away.
Michael Skinner. How are you?
I'm well, and how are you folks doing?
Well, you
We're
heard
good.
Us complaining.
Yeah.
But I have got to tell you, I listened to that song several times since you sent it to me, and I can relate to that on so many levels, and I'm quite sure other people, well, I know they can. I mean, I don't even have to say that. But what's interesting to me is it's like you wrote it from, it's like you wrote it from my partner's perspective. But
right.
I think that many survivors feel that same way, that people are getting away from them and they don't know how to hold on to them, and they're sure that they're leaving even when they're not leaving. And I kind of get all of that from your song, and I guess I'm wondering if that's what you intended.
It is. One of the sadder things that's always struck me through the years and meeting folks, friends, and just in my advocacy and performing and presenting and just travels around the country, or even just right here in New Hampshire, you know, we're all aware of survivors and people who've been hurt in life, you know, being drawn to, you know, abusive relationships because that's all they've known. And one of the things, it just struck me one day that just meeting all these folks, and it was so sad that people would meet each other and actually could be good for one another, whether it be an intimate relationship or friendship, maybe it's, you know, work environment or a counselor, but people don't know how to, you know, to be in a good relationship. It's frightening, and I got to be honest, I've done the same darn thing myself. But so that song was written from personal experience of, you know, because I've experienced it several times, you know, people running from me, but again, I got to be honest, I've done the same darn thing.
Right.
And so, and wasn't aware that I was doing it. So when I became aware,
oh no, you don't think you're doing that. You think you think you got it under control.
Right. Something that helped for myself to try to stop jumping on that train and running away, and to run to someone as opposed to running away from for all the wrong reasons, was I read that book, Trust After Trauma, and I read it, you know, a couple times, and
right.
So much of that really, that helped me to, you know, say, hey, I'm not giving this a fair shake, because not just, you know, meeting a girlfriend or dating or whatever, but also with friends. So yeah, it's from personal experience, but it's also a collective, sort of collective group that's out there.
Well, let's see. What should we talk about? You have all sorts of things going on. You've got. Let's talk about Surviving Spirit first.
Okay.
That's www.survivingspirit.com.
Correct.
Let's talk about that.
Okay. That is a nonprofit, and that came about, together, I think about 4 years ago. And again, from my travels, and, you know, as a musician, but just meeting so many people that were so gifted and creative, and then trying, and I realized that how being a musician, you know, having that guitar opened up a lot of doors for me. And I was just meeting a lot of folks that were writers, artists, musicians, and maybe they didn't want to do it professionally, but they had all this incredible stuff to share, and I just thought, well, boy, that's a... Because they were really gifted. So there's several layers to what the Surviving Spirit is trying to do, but, you know, basically is to end the stigma and discrimination, raise awareness, and show that people do survive these things, that they also thrive. They go on to life and do creative things and good things, and they go back into the workforce and all the rest of that good stuff. They enter into relationships.
Sorry, now one. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just the circles that we travel in, but it seems to me that an awful lot of survivors are very, very creative people.
They are.
And,
the song off my album, Waiting for a Train, Songs for the Keys to Your Life, and I addressed that when I do presentations, because I feel that everyone is creative, and you're right. When in these circles that I travel, and people say, "Oh no, I'm not," but when you really stop to think about it, if they look at what they're doing or what they've done, they are creative. And so, this, you know, healing comes in all shapes and forms. But boy, one of the best ways is through the creative arts, and we all have that in us. Whether we look at art, listen to music, read, we do it ourselves or a combination thereof. So trying to encourage that to bring forth their own creative endeavors, but also to use the arts in healing. It's one of the things that's really maligned a lot or overlooked. And
well,
so
I think
that was part
it's
of it.
I know I use a lot of artwork. And, I mean, not so much anymore. Now it's kind of morphed into something else for me, but I did a lot of survivor art when I was in therapy, and artwork has always been very therapeutic and kind of a way for me to express myself where I may not have done that publicly or in a way that said, oh, look at me, this thing happened to me, but it was
mm-hmm.
Boy, I'm struggling here how to explain that. It was kind of organic for me. And I know a lot of other people that use art in the same way, whether they're you know, using their music or painting. You know, they're getting that stuff out. And, you know, I guess I would like for people to think about, you know, their options. And I think that they are a lot more creative. Plus, I think that just to survive that kind of your childhood, you got to be creative. I think it kind of goes hand in hand.
Right. So people do survive. The part of the surviving spirit, just as like with what you're doing with your radio show and what others are doing, you know, they write a book or they advocate in one way, shape, or another, is, yeah, we survive, but you can also thrive. And the creative arts is one way to help in that healing process. But being creative also means, you know, you like cooking. You're out there gardening. You know, there's a lot of things that people tend to overlook. You know, some folks are gifted on a computer and different things, you know, skills that I don't have, you know, woodworking. You know, the list goes on and on and on. So just trying to put that into the mix and using the creative arts is a gentle way, if you will, to get the foot in the door and to raise awareness on the issues of trauma, abuse, and mental health. So that's part of it. It's not all of it, but that's a big, huge chunk of it.
Let's see. I'm actually looking at your Surviving Spirit page right now. You've got resources, peer support, mental health information, mental health support, surviving the holidays, grief recovery. I just think all of this kind of stuff is so important for people to have. And I would just like to say, I'll put this out on my blog over the weekend so that people can
Great.
Find it.
Yeah, and one thing that also that goes out, if they visit the website, you know, you'll see the newsletters. They're posted, and they go out once a month. And those are also filled with a lot of great resources, whether it's sharing, you know, someone just wrote a book or they've got music, but also someone doing advocacy and also organizations that are doing good things. And because we're inclusive, we're not exclusive, if you will, we touch all areas of trauma, abuse, and mental health. That, you know, covers a wide swath, and it was always designed to be that way so that we can cover a lot of ground, because unfortunately, there is a common denominator. No matter what you're struggling with, some way, shape, or form, you have experienced some form of trauma or abuse. And so, you know, again, so the newsletter is also another gentle way to, you know, raise awareness. And
right.
I started doing that back in the late 90s. Back then I called it Survivor Friends and Friends of Survivors. And then when I started the Surviving Spirit as an organization, just, you know, that just morphed into the newsletter as it is.
You've been at this for a long time.
You know what I realized several months ago? I've been at this now for 20 years. I started in the fall of 1993.
Right. I didn't realize you'd been. I mean, I knew you'd been around for a while, but longer than me. But I didn't realize you'd been around that long. I do have
one
question.
I didn't realize
if you wanna...
around that long. I
sometimes it's better not to think about it.
Yeah.
So if they want to sign up for your newsletter, can they do that through your Surviving Spirit page?
Yep. Right at the website, the contact us and just write, you know, subscribe to newsletter. And, you know, they can write to me or anyone on the board. And there's folks that they can reach out to. And, we're going to be updating because there's some things we need to upgrade on the site. But, again, as you pointed out, there's a lot of great resources on there to help people. And they're broken down into peer support for mental health, peer support for, you know, child abuse, sexual abuse. So there's a lot of good things, and we're looking for more content. If you know,
I think there's something here for everybody.
There is. If you notice, there's a little something there. You're right. That's what it is, and that's what it was designed to do. So, again, trauma, abuse, and mental health. What's that?
You've even got a store.
We've got a store. We have a a jury process, so folks, if they wish to sell their books or their art, we sell the Boys and Men Healing film. We sell the drawing a blank on the female version of that.
Well, you got books, music, videos, visual art, sculpture, jewelry, quilts, greeting cards, candles, crafts.
Yeah.
This is like one-stop shopping for survivors.
Yeah, and
I got to tell you, I hope. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
The key to that, and everything on there that's been created, no matter what shape or form, is someone that has gone through what we're talking about. And so, what better way to show that, hey, there is life after? And, so there's some really good things on there.
Right, and I can already hear the people asking, what do you do with all the money that you get from this page? Because there's a place for donations,
Well,
you want to talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. We set that up as a business, so it's a 60-40 split, and so it's 60% to the creative person and 40% to Surviving Spirit.
So it's kind of like a co-op. Kind of a deal.
Yeah.
And it takes money to run that stuff.
That's because sometimes folks, there's a little pushback on that. They say, "Well, how?" And then I explain to them, "Well, we have to pay someone to maintain this website and design it and all the other stuff because that's not my technical expertise."
Right.
I can tell you.
I've had my stuff out there for sale, and a 60-40 split is a really good split.
And, well, thank you, because
exactly.
That is also
exactly.
Arrived at by talking to people that we know, artists, authors, because even our board of directors, there's a lot of creative folks on there, and even the original board, there was professional artists and writers, and so they also helped shape that split.
I think sometimes people don't realize the amount of effort behind the scenes that goes into all of that. I fully get it because I do a lot of shows, and there's a lot of effort on all of those sides. So yeah, that's a very fair split.
Oh, yeah, just to put an hour out. I mean, look at what it takes, And
exactly.
You're right, people don't think about that. I guess that's the good thing. If you make it look simple.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
there's
I know myself selling my CDs. I have it in other places, and I have to, pass on a split to it. But my way of looking at it is, hey, this other website or these other companies, they're putting my CDs out in front of more people than I could ever even hope of getting in front of.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk about something else. I just recently, and I am really sorry because I neglected to write it down, but I just recently voted for you. There was a campaign going. Is that over, or can people still go vote for you?
What was I doing?
Oh, shoot. It was, Let's come back to that. I'm pretty sure you know what I was talking about.
It wouldn't have been, boy, I don't know. There's been a couple things where people have said that they've put me up for something in voting, but you know, I would just feel really weird if I was trying to promote that.
Oh, shoot. No, it was great. I got it. Actually, I did not get it from you. I got it from someone else. And I was
Thank
like,
you.
Oh. You know, it was, I think you were going to win money to use
well,
for
good.
Your advocacy.
Well,
so,
I wish that you'd.
Well, shoot, I should have made notes. I thought that you'd be all up on that.
Oh, Danny, you and I both looked at that. Was it the Spirit Award or something? Or
Yes, I think it was Spirit Award. It was a Spirit Award.
I think it's a Spirit Award is what I think.
Wow.
So anyway, we should probably stop talking about it because now we're going to make everybody crazy. So yeah, there's this thing, but we don't know what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was really great.
Hey, and we found it on the internet, so it has to be correct.
You know, yeah, this is terrible. We should be embarrassed that we do stuff like that. Let's see. I also listened to Brush Away Your Tears.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote that song for Those Hurt as Children. That's on
Correct.
YouTube. YouTube, what's it called? MC Strain? MCSTRAIN?
MCS Train. So MCS.
MCS Train.
MCS are the initials for my name, Michael Cameron Skinner, and Train was the original band that I was in back in England in my hard rock and roll days, so I've always used that. It's not the Train that's out now, but we were the first Train. So that was back in the mid to late 70s, early 80s. And that song is also used on the film Boys and Men Healing. It's a really great documentary, but they used that in the closing credits, so I was excited with that, and that's the recorded version that's on the album. So the one that you see at the YouTube, that's me playing live on a local cable TV show. But the CD version has, you know, a full band, well, friends of mine, and then I put the drum tracks down. And the people singing the harmonies, the backup, they're all survivors. So it was pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
You weren't one of the guys that made the Oprah show, were you?
I was.
You were?
Oh.
How was that? You know, I've talked to a few of those guys.
It was very very powerful. I was glad that it happened.
How many men were on that show?
There were 200 of us.
200.
And, you know, I got to give her credit. You know, we were treated great, and we were all flown in, put up in a great place, fed well, and all the rest of it. And it brought up a lot of stuff, because then I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about, wow, I'm here, and, you know, how did I get here, and why am I here? But I'm also thinking, because I've lost, you know, two of my brothers have committed suicide, so there was a lot of stuff that was being dredged up while sitting there and thinking about it. So it was good, but it brought up the reality of part of the reasons why I do what I do, because so many people have been hurt by child abuse, and, you know, part of what I do is to try to break that silence.
Now, I know what you mean about that, though. You sometimes find yourself, because, you know, I mean, I do quite a bit of talking, and on occasion, I'll be talking and I'll find myself caught. You know, it's like, oh, I didn't see that coming, and you know, you might get a little choked up over something because you haven't thought about it for a long time and you find out it's coming out of your mouth. And, I know what you're talking about. It's it becomes so important that you get it right. And you do wonder sometimes why you're doing it, I think.
With what you just said, I've learned to share this openly at, you know, presentations because, you know, most times, you know, I'm pretty good at what I do. I practice, I'm a professional. But as you just said, this sometimes something comes up and, you know, and it hits you left of center, and it's like, oh, boy. And, you know, and I'll joke with folks, you know, because you know, I deal with dissociation. So I
right.
have a little trick to keep myself grounded. So if I'm
right.
about to go off track, and that can happen because we're human beings, but yet at the same time, we have this extra stuff that we're dealing with that can really throw us for a curveball. And I've experienced that. And it's not
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, it happens on occasion. Well, you know, sometimes what happened for me is, you know, you'll be talking and somebody that's out there in the audience, you know, it'll be a look, or they'll, you know, they'll be crying, or, you know, you get these little connections with people that you don't even know. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes I have to stop and take a breath.
Right.
Oh, you know.
What I have found, and I tell folks up front, because I have a presentation, I've worked it all, but if someone wants to stop me and ask a question, I don't have a problem with that, because then I feel connected, because this is a whole new thing for me, because, you know, keep in mind, I was a drummer in, you know, band, so I was with a group of people, I'm behind a, you know, a drum set and behind other musicians.
Right.
Being out front speaking and having a guitar on and singing, that's, you're out there by yourself, and for me, when people connect with me, that actually helps me. That helps ground me. So when people start asking questions, I'm like, thank goodness.
That's the best part. I think that's the absolute best part, because then you're having a conversation. It's not you standing up there
mm-hmm.
trying to lecture to people anymore. It's now it's
right.
a conversation. I like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. You know, I like to share a little bit what I've been through, but, you know, let the people ask the questions, because then, you know, you're right.
That's what they came for.
You can learn them. And plus, you learn a lot that way, too.
I agree, because that has helped fuel what I do, is by listening to people, because it's, you know, it's my story, but it's the collective stories of so many others.
Well, and I have to tell you, I mean, it's almost like the elephant in the room for me. I'm very proud to say that about half the people who follow me, I've got a pretty equal following of men and women, but that
mm-hmm.
didn't happen right away. And I just think it's so, so important for men to come forward. I think it's been very difficult for them. And I just want to applaud you for that.
Thank you.
Oh, see, now I can get a little choked up. Because I know it's not the same. It's the same but different. Do you know what I mean?
In some ways, it's, you know, certain aspects of it's harder in some respects for men, just as, you know, with women, some things are harder. But getting welcomed at the table, because I'll tell you, you know, 20 years is a long time.
Oh, it was a woman's issue.
Right, and, you know, I remember not being welcomed. And I'm not alone in this, you know, that we weren't welcomed at places, or even, you know, you're calling a sexual assault support center for help, and you're being told that we don't treat perpetrators because they hear a male's voice. I mean, you're talking
yeah.
about stigmatizing.
I have to tell you, it's been over 20 years since I was in some pretty serious therapy, and males were not allowed. Men were not allowed in
yeah.
my groups, you mm-hmm. know. And there was a lot of male bashing going on, and it never occurred to any of us for quite some time that it even would happen to a guy. And, you know, that's kind of sad.
And then as I share in my story, it was both of my parents. So, you know, my mother was female, and she was one of the worst perpetrators. So how does that exclude me from being part of a survivors group? I have
right.
so
and
many women, so many women friends that were also abused by their mother or an older female. So, you know, and that's another taboo issue that people don't want to talk about, but it happens.
You know,
sadly.
I have a Facebook friend who, her primary, it was a female, and her primary abuser was her mother. And I mean to tell you, I mean, she's got a horrendous story. And people have actually called her a liar, because mothers
yeah.
don't do that. And I'm here to tell you, mothers do vile things to their children.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't get a free pass.
No.
They're,
no.
I would even hazard to say that they're finding out statistically that there's more women doing that than they ever thought.
Right, and yay, they don't want to
I'm
talk
just
about
so
it.
I'm so glad you're out there.
Thanks. Well, thank you, and thanks for having me. Because I've never understood that. In some way, it's the male bashing. But what my mother did was horrible. But I don't want to blame all women for that because some of my best friends are females.
Right.
You know, I had a conversation this weekend, kind of regarding that, and I think whether the abuser came from mom or dad, I mean, they've obviously that was somewhere recessed into their childhood or their family. I mean, I just don't think you're born abusing. I just don't. I mean, I can't even remember who I was talking to, but it's like, you just don't. You don't just be born and go, oh, my God, okay, I'm just going to abuse my child. Oh, get out. It had to come from a very – I mean, Annie, you and I have talked about that even with your
I studied all this stuff in college, and you're right. I mean, it's learned behavior why some people make that decision that it's going to be okay for them to do it and others don't. I know I hate to give my father credit for anything, but the truth is he was very badly abused as a child. And,
I'm one of the ones that I don't believe I have to forgive. Some people do. I don't wish to, I have nothing to forgive my parents for. But there is a part of me that has compassion for them as children, knowing that their childhood was a living hell. Why or what caused them to cross that line, I don't know. It's beyond my level of thinking. I have different
thoughts.
Even
if they told you, you wouldn't get it.
Right, I wouldn't. But so part of what I do is I can't undo what was done to me and, other folks our age and younger. But, Don, if we can keep speaking out to raise awareness, to help, the child that's out there now, and also to help the person so that they don't become a perpetrator.
Right. And,
exactly.
Aside from that, too, I can't speak for everybody, but I know an awful lot of people felt the same way. When I first went into therapy, I was quite sure this had not happened to anyone. I felt so alone. And I think that these groups and the people that go out and speak and they're telling their stories, that people are not feeling so alone. And I think that's really important, too. And I agree with you. It's not the forgiving. What you just said, I mean, that's just a testimony to your mental health. You just find a way to let it go. And,
exactly.
And not rule you anymore.
Right. And I don't want them occupying space in my head because they're not paying rent, as they say. But, there's still things that they're still there in many ways because it's hard to undo all of that. But I just want to move on. I don't have hatred for them. I certainly dislike what they did. But I don't know what will happen. What kind of a payment there is, and I don't know. But I try not to dwell on it too much. I just know that what they did was, I feel it was evil, and I don't say that in the sense of I don't think they were, born in hell. I just think it human beings are capable of great love and great things, but they're also capable of some really heinous practices.
Right, and I think it's important. I really like that one of the things that you say, a diagnosis is not a destiny, and I used and I still say it, I said it in my book, too, it just does not define who you are.
Exactly.
And once you get that it's over, and you can move forward, it takes an awful lot of energy to be angry, and I know, I was angry for a lot of years. It's exhausting, actually, to be angry and hateful.
Yeah. It drains you, and I know there's still anger in me at the stigma that we face and the silence, but that's what helps fuel my advocacy. I just don't want it turning to rage and, you know, turning into something then I become sick from it. So,
right.
I use it to fuel my passion.
And I think the people that don't let go and don't move on, I mean, it's just you're just in a tailspin. It's wasted. You've got so much more stuff that could be going on, because when you're only thinking negative, you're absolutely in a tailspin right then and there, and you just can't pull yourself out of that. I mean,
right.
It's something that's happened. It's defined you. It's made you who you are. Was it good? No, it sucked.
I was just thinking, you know, there's a place for that anger. You know, I think in the beginning, we all go through that. It's just figuring out how to let go of it and
right.
not hang on to it. But you've got actually several places that people can find you, and I want to make sure I get this all out there before we're coming up on 20 minutes already.
My website is, you know, www.mskinnermusic.com, and they can visit the site, but it's currently being revamped and upgraded. Someone is doing that for me, redesign, and so I'm excited about that, so I hope to be unveiling that in a couple of weeks, but they can still visit my website. And
so what's that
going
to tell us about your website? Can they buy your music, listen to your
they
music?
They can buy the music. They can hear two-minute clips of the songs. They can see pictures of me. They can read articles I've written. They can read articles written about me. Press releases about the CDs. There's a lot of information. There's resources also on there as well. And some of the things I've been involved in. So it's pretty extensive. There's a lot there. There's a lot of content. It just needs to be upgraded and updated.
Right, because, I don't know. I'm looking at it right now. I'm usually banned from doing these things because I get to looking around the Internet and I get lost in the Internet and I forget I'm supposed to be talking.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking. Who am I talking? What am I doing here?
You know, it's terrible.
Well, I'll
but
pull
anyway,
up the site too. We can walk through it together.
From what little I'm seeing, it looks pretty good. I got in, entered the site, got to your welcome. They got you singing, Brush Away Your Tears. There's all sorts of stuff on here.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of things there that are good, but you want it to be, current. There's more things.
Right.
There's a lot more things that can be added there. They can hear me on radio shows there, just like what we're doing here. You can see that on the front home page. It says Banbury Shire Brawley Radio Show. That was a show that was out of England, and I was on that, and I was sandwiched in between, I'm forgetting his name, two great iconic folk singers, one over here. Tom, what's his name? In New Hampshire. Anyways, but I was sandwiched in between these two great acts, and I'm on the show. And then the Sunrise Performance, it's self-explanatory. It was from the University of Massachusetts in Lowell. I was on there, and there's a lot of stuff there. But again, it's updated.
That's always the hard part for me. I really need somebody else to do that. But I'm looking at this, and on here you also have performance and workshops, advocacy, the music, testimonials, links, contacts. So this also has a lot of information. And and I should mention before I forget that you can also link it to this show and put it on there. That's out there for all eternity if you want to link to it.
Well, no. When you archive this, I will put that.
Absolutely. Get the link.
And I know I've shared your, the radio show. Can you hear me now? In past Surviving Spirit newsletters as well as your book. So
Right. No, I knew you had done that, and I've been really remiss because you said send me all your information. I was like, oh shoot, if I only had it all in one place. you know, I got all these big ideas, and then I can't get organized enough to pull it together. Sort of need somebody to be the taskmaster.
I'm laughing because I understand.
You feel my pain, huh?
Yeah, I'm laughing with you, not at you.
So let's see, what else? You're on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Just Michael Skinner, 5680. Is that your address?
Let me click on the Facebook thing. Yeah, 5680. Thank you, michael.skinner.5680.
So is that a fan page or a friends page?
It's a friends page. Then we do have a Surviving Spirit page, and then we have a closed Surviving Spirit group, which is a lot of good peer support going on there. The Surviving Spirit.
Oh, you have a closed group.
Yeah.
I kind of have keep a little list of those because people will contact me, and I'm always looking for places to refer. And I'm assuming on your closed group you do it the same way. I would contact you and say, hey, I got this person.
Yeah, and they
let you
because
the
they
contact.
Can find, they can actually find the page, and then they say we want to join, and then you know there's myself and several board members or administrators, and we can you know grant them access. You know, when I see someone, I just go to their page and see what they're about, and then you know grant them access. And again, they'll share about their book or their own website or the radio show they're on or whatever, but there's also a lot of peer support there and some really constructive, helpful peer support because there's some Facebook groups where some folks are just, they're pretty nasty to fellow survivors, and I don't understand that.
Well, and I know I've actually had a little bit of trouble with it lately. People get on and they just want to rant about, rant on a regular basis
right.
about negative stuff. And
right.
I kind of like to have that positive vibe going. There's enough
right.
negative, you know.
I agree.
And I have to ask, it's not just for men. It's a co-ed group?
No.
Or?
No, it's a co-ed group. No, Surviving Spirit.
Co-ed group.
It's everybody.
I want to make sure because, you know, people ask that stuff.
Oh, okay. See, I wouldn't even think that because I just... For me, it's always been open and inclusive. I,
Well, I used to think that too, but I've been asked enough times. Now I'm like, well, I better put this out there that it is co-ed. They can find you on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Your email address is mikeskinner@comcast.net if anybody wants to email
right.
you. Yes?
Right.
You're on
mm-hmm.
Twitter at... Mike, no, this is different. It's Michael, SKINNE 11 for Twitter.
Yeah, Michael Skin. So the.
It doesn't translate on the radio very well.
No, it's my name, Michael, then my last name without the R, because I guess that was already taken. So I got 2-1. MICHAELSKINNE 11. But if they email me or whatever, I can get all that information to them.
Right.
And they
you've
can
also
contact
got,
me through. They can
ahead.
Find me through my website, and they can also find me through the Surviving Spirit website, and also on Facebook.
So, you're probably like me. If they Google your name, they'll find you everywhere.
Yeah. There is another Mike Skinner over in England who's famous in music as a street and a hip hop.
It's not you.
It's not me. But if they put Michael Skinner music advocate or trauma or abuse, they'll find me. No, I do
okay.
come up, but. So.
Yeah, this is good stuff because, you know, I can't actually type it out there for because once we're off the air, you know, all that stuff that we type up in the little chat room is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So what else are you doing?
Exactly.
What else am I doing?
Yeah.
Well, I'm writing a book on my life. I'm putting together an article. I can't disclose it yet, but I've been asked to write an article on the trauma in my life and the abuse and how that's impacted me and my, you know, my physical health and everything. And this article will be directed at the medical profession, so I'm kind of excited about that.
I am so glad to hear you say that, because I just went to a surgeon this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from trauma when I was 14 years old. And
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at some surgery that's pretty serious. And,
okay.
I have a tendency to call this, you know, don't beat your kids. It could last them a lifetime. And,
right.
You know, yeah, I'm glad you're doing that. I'm really glad you're doing that.
Because I have back issues, you know, severe back issues, which are the result of the abuse that was inflicted upon me, you know. And
right. It's
a daily
neck.
Reminder, you know, and it's not in my head. And then, you know, and then how you can be treated by some physicians, you know, because if you say that, you know, you deal with post-traumatic stress or, you know, you've had depression, then they're questioning you, you know, are you really feeling these symptoms? And it's like, oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Great. So.
Fortunately, I've gotten past all of that because they just put my x-rays up there and it's kind of breathtaking.
Right.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I've been seeing doctors for quite some time over it, but I think a lot of that is just kind of blown off.
Right.
And people say, well, you know, you don't live at home anymore, get over it. And you're thinking, well, you know, I'm in pain. I'm not
and the worst of that, I mean, but people can't see it. That's the thing.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Sometimes they don't get it because they don't see it, you know.
Well, and that's the thing, though, when they take the time to learn about trauma and how it impacts every part of your body and your mind and your spirit, you know, that you just can't get over. It is with you for the rest of your life. We heal, we get better, but, I mean, there's still parts of it that I feel some of the stuff that I deal with will be with me till the day I die, and I've learned to deal with it and to be at peace with it as best I can.
Right. Well, you know, it's just part of who you are. You know, and I have to admit, I lately I've been seeing a lot of doctors, and I have my moments where I'm angry. And fortunately, it doesn't last very long. And, you know, you just kind of do what you got to do, you know.
Right.
But, I don't think that you don't hear very much about the fallout for adults that, you know, you think about some little kid getting tossed around a room. You know,
right.
there's got to be fallout from that, and you got to wonder how much trauma you see in people that are older, and they don't even think about where it came from. You know, an awful lot of people walking around with.
Are you familiar with the ACE study?
No.
I'll send you a link to that. That's adverse childhood experiences, and folks, that's easy to Google. Just Google ACE study. And this is the result of doctors doing a study of a middle-class group of people and that were in there for major physical things, and then they found the correlation between their childhood abuse trauma and the physical things. So fortunately, there are some medical treatment providers, doctors and what have you, they have gotten this, and they do grasp that there is a connection. And then trying to make others aware of it. So that's the good news of that. The bad news is we still got a long ways to go.
Right. Well, you know, the doctor that I saw actually sees a lot of abused kids. And he's got some pictures up on his walls of kids that stories have been done on. And, this guy, he's in his 70s. He's probably not going to be practicing much longer, but he said the majority of the business he sees is either it's childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets it. I'm not sure how many of them get it or if they get it and they just don't talk about it. Or I'm going to definitely go check that out, though. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely worth looking into and just seeing.
So you're going to have a book. You're going to have a book. You're going to write. You're writing an article. You're going to keep doing music.
Mm-hmm.
yes, yes, yes.
So, yeah.
And
do you think Michael, do you think the writing and the music have helped you heal also?
I do, because I think about it a lot. The songs, and again, that's why I really encourage folks to pursue their creativity, whatever it is, whether they journal, whatever, because, you know, I'm professional, so I can put on a CD, but you don't have, even if I was just sitting at home playing these songs that I've written, because I have songs that I've written that touch upon these things, and, you know, and I've never released them. Some of them are my angry songs, some of them my really, really sad songs, but it's a way for me to, they're cathartic. It's a way to get stuff out. You know, you heard the 9:30 train. You can listen to all my albums, and there's a story there. It's my story, but it's also the story of others. So I feel fortunate and blessed that I can do that. And the same thing with writing. I can get it out there. So it has helped my healing. And I also truly believe that what has also helped me in the healing is the simple act of helping others. You know, I'm forgetting the quote, but when you help others, you're also helping yourself. And I truly believe that. So it helps. It's helped me to get outside of my own pain. I still have it. So those are things that have all helped.
You probably have that with your music. That humbling. You know, it's pretty humbling when you connect with people you don't even know. But mm-hmm. You know, you start writing, you're going to get that too. It's you know, it's so important. And shoot, we've only got like 7 minutes left already. If you're going to do a book, we're going to want you to come back. So I'll let you know that. And I'm so excited that to have you on here. I've wanted to get you on here for quite a while. So thanks for being on.
Well, thank you for having me. There is one thing I'd like to share, that, and again, it's not on my website yet because that's being updated, but I did have a chapter in a book recently published, and it was a company in the United Kingdom, PCCS Books, and it's a major publishing company, but they did a book. It's called Our Encounters with Suicide, and they asked me to write because they were aware of what I do with music and writing and advocacy, and
mm-hmm.
I titled my chapter The Silence of Suicide, and it's pretty powerful, and I've actually... I've done some presentations where I just read my chapter from the book, and then I have a question and answer after, and it's very powerful.
Oh, send me a link. Can you get it on Amazon or?
I think they are now. I actually have copies to sell because I'm selling some when I do these presentations. But I will definitely send you both the link for the ACE study as well as the book thing.
Maybe are they going to be on the website?
What's that?
Are they going to be on the website?
They will be on my website, my new one, when it's revamped.
Okay.
But I'm going to send, I can send you the, because I have a cover letter on it, and it has the link to the book, because there's several, you know, I think there's 30 other stories, and they're all, it's very powerful, on suicide, and it's from folks who have survived it, who've been impacted by it. I share in my chapter, you know, as I said, I've lost two brothers and two friends to suicide, and I have childhood recollections, you know, vague memory of when my mother tried to kill herself, and then I share my own attempts on my life, so, and what brought me to where I am now, that I want to stay alive, so.
Right. That's important.
Yes.
Yeah. Very important. Very.
Listen.
Yes.
We're gonna. I'm gonna run out of time, and I really want to get this last song in. Is there anything you want to say that we haven't talked about? Something you want to leave the listeners with?
No. Keep moving on, folks. Just keep doing what you're doing, one foot in front of the other. And thanks you two for having me on.
Oh,
absolutely.
Michael, thank you so much for being on. It's Michael Skinner. Check him out, and we're going to play this. It's called Donna Smile.
Yeah,
Kelly,
and this is about a real person or someone I was in a relationship with, and, well, the lyrics speak for themselves. You know, a survivor that couldn't address her issues, sadly.
Well, they're out there. So, Michael, we'll talk to you next time.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much. Kelly?
Take
night,
care.
Michael.
Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Thanks.
Good night,
okay.
Everybody.
Night, everyone.
I don't see your face.